And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Happy to be back with you and all the listeners on In His Sign, Catholic Radio.
And we are broadcasting today on Facebook Live as well. So hopefully you go out there. I'm hearing that the reception is pretty good when you listen over Facebook. And you get to see me, for better or worse. So one of these days we're going to get Father to come into the studio and actually sit here and be on the camera. But until that happens, you're stuck with me. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years now. We can't bring you these shows without it, so please continue to do what you can. If you can do a little more, that's great, but if nothing else, continue to do what you've been doing. It seems to have been working. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father's also the rector out at Malvern. If you're going to make a retreat out there, you will probably see him at some point, whether it's at the welcome dinner on a Friday night or at some point over the course of the weekend. So be sure to swing by and say hi. I think, Father, over the past, I guess you've been there going on 8 months, that you've met quite a few people. Probably some of whom have listened to us on the radio, huh?
Yeah, sure, for sure, Ken.
Yeah.
Thousands. So here in Grace Ferry, you meet hundreds, but Malvern, it's thousands.
Nice. All right. Couple of updates before we get going here. The Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. till about 4:30 p.m. If you're in the neighborhood, stop in and visit Matt. If you're going to come down, get in touch with Father or I through the website, matttalbotshrine.org or ourhouseministries.org, and we can stop over church and meet you, give you a tour of the Cathedral of South Philadelphia. We had a visiting priest come assist last Tuesday on our third Tuesday, and Father Brian from up at St. Dominic's, and the first time he was in the church, and he was pretty impressed, huh, Father?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
The Cathedral of South Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah, so come down and pay us a visit. On Tuesdays at 3:30, or at 3 o'clock, rather, there's a holy hour, which wraps up with novena prayers to Matt Talbot, followed by benediction. And on Thursdays, before the shrine closes, we have a rosary at 4 o'clock. So all are more than welcome to come and join us. A couple of upcoming retreats that I want to point out. There's the first annual Mother's Day retreat is going to take place the weekend of May 10th to the 12th. Father Chris Alar from the shrine in Stockbridge will be there, along with none other than Kathleen McCarthy, president of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Kathleen just gave a great retreat, I hear, over the weekend with Father Dermot Roche. But she'll be back at Malvern again May 10th to the 12th. That's a retreat for men and women. And my understanding is that families will be welcome to, you know, the kids and what have you, would be more than welcome to come out and join their parents for Mass on Sunday morning at the retreat house. And my men's weekend is August 16th to the 18th this year, the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group. And we've got a priest coming in from Wyoming. Father Bryce Lundgren was a guest of mine March of last year when we talked about his book, The Catholic Cowboy Way. And so we've arranged for Father Lundgren to travel from Wyoming to Malvern for that weekend. All men are more than welcome to join. For the women that are out there, maybe as Father's Day approaches, think about buying your husband or son or significant man in your life. You can get them a gift certificate for a retreat at Malvern. For either of the retreats or more information, you can go to malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com. Or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. All right, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Venerable Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Maximin Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Margaret Cortona.
Pray for us.
St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
Blessed Carlos Acutis.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance and want to call toll-free, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way in the past couple of weeks and you want to share it with us, you want to be sure to give us a call. Also, we only have one saint in the calendar this week, and we're not going to talk about him. We're going to talk about another. And so we thought we would just talk about the saints in general. And if you have a devotion to a particular saint, or maybe through that devotion you've had some experience at any point in your life and you want to share it with us, again, you can call us at 610-527-2906. Be happy to hear what the saints have done in your life. As mentioned, there's only one saint in the calendar this week, and that was yesterday, the 27th, St. Gregory of Narik, who was an abbot and doctor of the church. And we thought we would talk today about St. Margaret of Cortona. We missed her feast day last week. It's celebrated on February the 22nd, and we didn't talk about her then, and so we thought we would talk about her now since she is one of Father's favorites. Margaret of Cortona was born in the year 1247, and she would die on February the 22nd in the year 1297. She had farming parents born in Tuscany region of Italy, a town called Laviano. Her mother died when she was just 7 years old, and she had a stepmother that she didn't get along with, and so Margaret moved out. For 9 years, she took up residence with a gentleman by the name of Arsenio. And even though they were not married, she would have a son with him. And she had doubts about her situation, and she would pray for purity, but just like St. Augustine, but not yet. So I think a lot of us have said those prayers in the past, you know, God make me this, or God help me with that, but not just yet. Let me have a little bit more fun, happiness, whatever it is we think we get from it, and then I'll be ready to have you take care of me. Anyway, one day Arsenio was away, and she was waiting for him to come back, and lo and behold, their dog came back, and Arsenio was not there. The dog would lead Margaret into the forest, and there she would see that Arsenio had been murdered. Had a huge impact on Margaret and really shocked her into a life of penance. She would go back to her son, she and her son would both go back to Laviano where she had been born. And again, were not well received by the stepmother. So then they left and headed to Cortona, where her son eventually became a friar. in 1277, 3 years after her conversion, Margaret would become a third order Franciscan or a Franciscan tertiary. She had a confessor, and he had to really help her to moderate with her self-denial. She was in a pretty heavy-duty life of prayer and penance while in Cortona, and apparently her confessor needed to order her to moderate. But while she was there, she would establish a hospital. She founded a congregation of third-order sisters. And then she, like Francis, and being as humble as she was devoted to the Eucharist and to the Passion of Jesus. That because of that passion and her own devotions, other people would come to her for advice and inspiration. She was canonized in the year 1728, and her feast day is celebrated on February 22nd. That's St. Margaret of Cortona, whose feast day we celebrated last week. Father.
Very good, Ken. That was a great summary, Margaret of Cortona. And the reason why, gosh, she's one of my favorites, because she really, through God's love for her, God's mercy for her, we really kind to come to grasp that. What mercy is all about, and what mercy is. I mean, one of the things that touched my heart the most is that after living a life of such sinfulness, of impurity about herself, and, you know, she always had that little seed of faith in her. Like you said, she wanted to be pure, but not yet. You know, she was hoping to be married to Arsenio, because Arsenio was going to marry her because he was royal, and you don't marry, I don't know, a village girl or a farm girl. But here's the thing. She did the penances. She was so sorry. She had her moment of truth when she saw her Arsenio, who was murdered under those leaves. And she has her moment of truth. And she says, what have I done? And all of a sudden, this ray of grace comes into her and moves her heart. And she wants to change. As you said, she goes home and she's rejected again by the stepmother and the father. She has a bad reputation with everyone, so she heads for a new land in Cortona. But here, after 3 years of penance, you know, finally the Franciscan would take her in as a secular Franciscan. And she begins to have these wonderful locutions from our Lord, conversations with our Lord, visions from our Lord. And our Lord says to her in one of the visions, Margaret, you are the third light of my order. You know, Francis is my first light, Claire's my second light for the nuns, and you're the third light for the secular Franciscans. And this is what really hit me, Ken, the most, that he says to her in one of her visions, after she receives Holy Communion, of course, after her conversion many years, the Lord says to her, I've done all these graces, all these good things for you, because I want everyone to know that I also extend all my mercies to everyone else. Pretty much in those words, Ken. And this is what he says to her. I am giving back to you your virginity. And I remember hearing that. I'm saying, Lord, she's had a kid outside of wedlock. She already lost her virginity. How can you give her back her virginity? And then he says, and I'm putting you in the choirs of virgins. And I said, wow, amazing. But then it hit me what mercy really is. That he's the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ takes our guilt, our shame, our sinfulness to the cross and nails it to the cross and redeems us and restores us as if we have never sinned. We go back before Adam and Eve, only we have the incarnation of Jesus. And there it is, the scapegoat, the Lamb of God. He did it. He did it. The Lord takes it all and restores me. Like I haven't sinned. That's mercy, Ken. Wow. You know, and so I don't have to beat myself up over anything. And if I do start beating myself over my past sinfulness, it's like I'm not claiming the victory of the cross, what he won for me, what he's done for me. I mean, that's his mission, to come and to restore us and to redeem us, to bring us back to that innocence. Back to virginity, back to holiness, back to in the image and likeness of God when we're created by him. You know, there it is. That's why she's one of my patrons, because because through her, Jesus Christ shows us about what his mercy really is. You know, that restoration, that redemption, that transformation of the very image and likeness of our Father. And the Father doesn't see our sins. Christ took them. He sees his child. He sees us in his image and in his very likeness. And I was thinking of Catherine of Siena, too, where the Lord said to her, where she was looking back at her past sins, and God the Father said to her, I forbid you to think of your sins without looking at my Son crucified on the cross. There are no sins once we give them to him. And we're clean-hearted. We're like God. We're divinized because of God's mercy. You know, we become God by participation. This is the great gift that God gives to us. And just to open up our hearts and receive that, you know, trust in his mercy and his love and count on it. You know, I was thinking of the reading, was it yesterday? Let me set things right. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. And when I forgive, I forget. And I will cast your sins, guilt, shame, as far away as the east is from the west. I mean, that's good news. Believe me. You know, there's peace in that. There's wholeness in that. There's joy in that. There's glory in that. There's transforming love in that. And we see this in the lives of the saints. And Margaret of Cortona, our Lord just shines that mercy right through her. And it's just not for her. It's for each and every one of us. God loves each and every one of us as if we're the only one to love. If I was the only one, St. Augustine said, for Jesus Christ to come and die that cruel death, that torturous death on the cross, he would have done it just for me. And really, he did it just for me, just for you, and just for each and every one of us, because it's so personal. That's the mercy of God. That's the love of God. The transformed union of God.
Amen. And I want to give out the phone numbers again. We mentioned if you joined us late that Margaret of Cortona is going to be the primary saint today. So we'd like to take your calls. If you have a particular saint you have a devotion to, and especially if maybe you've had an experience as a result of that devotion, maybe you've had a devotion to Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower and roses appeared or something along those lines, by all means, give us a call, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. It seems to me, Father, for the last 24 hours, this Jesus' mercy has been a prime topic that we've talked about, whether it was your homily at Mass last night during the Calyx meeting we had last night, again this morning during our contemplative prayer hour. You know, it's mercy, mercy, mercy. And, you know, the idea that God's willing to forgive us for just about anything as long as we admit to have done it, to show God that we're truly sorry for what we've done, and ask for that mercy, that it should be granted, will be granted. And so many of our brothers and sisters, especially those that struggle with addiction, walking around with shame and guilt and feeling unworthy. And it's not because of anything that Jesus has done or said. They may have been misdirected by other people, perhaps even by religious, and maybe they had something in their past that couldn't be forgiven, or that they're not worthy of forgiveness. If that's happened, you know, that it's definitely wrong, that's for certain, and that there's very few things, if any, that you can't be forgiven for, as long as you admit to doing it and you repent of having done it. And especially, I think, Father, in this season of Lent, it's you know, a great time for those that have been away from the church or away from the sacraments, especially the sacrament of confession, you know, to get in line, to not fear God or fear the idea of confessing your sins to Jesus Christ. You know, we mentioned that again this morning. You know, a lot of people, when they argue with us about confession and, you know, that we don't need to confess our sins to another person, And you're not confessing them to another person. You're confessing them to Jesus Christ directly. The priest happens to be there in place of Christ or in persona Christi. And so when we make use of that sacrament and we go into that confessional, the encounter that we should be thinking about and having while we're there is not with the priest. It's with the it's with Jesus Christ himself. And when you hear those beautiful words at the end of the confession and you make your act of contrition, you know, to hear those beautiful words that that Jesus tells us through the priest that all of our sins are absolved, it doesn't get any better than that. And you know, like I said, there's so many people walking around with guilt and shame of things they did last week, last month, last year, last decade, last century. And you know, all that weight can be lifted. And you know, this story of Margaret of Cortona stands out because, you know, not only does God forgive her, not only does Jesus forgive her, but restores her virginity. And you know, some people will say, like you perhaps, you know, like you said, you know, how's that possible? Well, with God, anything is possible. And if he wants to restore somebody's virginity, he'll restore their virginity. If he wants to restore our purity, he'll restore our purity. We have to ask him and really mean it and do some of the legwork ourselves, avoid those near occasions of sin or those people, places, and things that put us in a situation where we will continue in a habitual sin or whatever it is that we're asking Jesus to relieve us of. But if we truly ask and we make the effort, that anything is possible. And, you know, for those of us that struggled with addiction or still do it to some degree, you know, that wasn't something that we bargained for when we met somebody or someone or Jesus himself that put us on the road to recovery. You know, all I wanted to do was get enough money to keep living the lifestyle I was. You know, it wasn't about the alcohol or the drugs, and I wrote a little bit about that on my Substack this morning. As a matter of fact, it went out a day late. I thought I sent it yesterday, and apparently it didn't go. But you know, in that sixth step and those character defects, those defects that we have are the true symptoms of our issues, not the alcohol, not the drugs, the gambling, the food, the sex, whatever it is that we do to cope with our defects. It's the defects themselves, and Jesus Christ wants to help us to remove them. As a matter of fact, in the seventh step and the 12-step program, we ask him to remove them. And we'll talk about that some more, or I'll write about that some more next week, because you know, people get frustrated because God doesn't always do it in the time frame that we like. And the longer I look at it and talk to people and my own experience, the more I realize that God's not going to remove it if we continue to put ourselves in situations where those defects can manifest themselves pretty easily. So while, you know, God ultimately will remove them, it's it really takes our effort in order to help him do it. So, Father, before I go back to you, we have a caller on the line, and it looks like they are calling all the way from London. Hello, Derek.
Ah, Ken, good evening to you, or good afternoon to you. I would say on the outskirts of London and Buckinghamshire and the home county, so good evening to you from over the waters.
Very good. Great to hear from you. What's going on?
Yes. Yeah, it's nice to talk to you. I was listening there, and I said, ooh, you know, about a favorite saint. And I would like to say sometimes, you know, when we go into a church that's dedicated to a saint, we are actually coming in to the communion of saints. And the saints that the church is, or the churches are dedicated to, can specifically make themselves known to us. You know, sometimes the people say, sometimes the saints choose us rather than us choose them. And I just wanted to give a story of going to the oratory of St. Philip Neri in Oxford a couple of weeks ago. Just at the very, very end of Mass, Father was giving his final blessing. And as he stood to give the blessing, at the same time, for a split second, I saw St. Philip Neri by the tabernacle and blessing the same time that Father offered his blessing. So I thought I'd just share that with you to say that we have to realize when we go into a church and the church is dedicated to a saint, we can rest assured that they are present together with the Lord, you know, to offer their prayers and their blessings to us.
No, that's fantastic, Derek. Father, you have a comment?
Yeah, Philip Neri is one of my favorite saints, and some of the beautiful quotes, you know, he would say, Lord, keep both hands on Philip or he will flee you, or beware of Philip or he will betray you, and I like to say that myself. But yeah, saints, you know, they're a new life from heaven. It's like Jesus Christ living again, you know. What Ken was saying, Derek, you know, in the confessional, it's Jesus. And in Philip Neri, when you see him giving the blessing with the priest, it's Jesus giving the blessing of the priest. But that's so true, that mystical body, all the saints, you know, we're all one, you know, in the heart of Jesus.
Derek. And I would just add, there's been times at Mass where I don't see them visibly, but or maybe I do, because I recall learning when I came back to the faith and learning about the Mass, and especially during the Eucharistic prayer, when, you know, we call the priest calls on the saints and angels to join him at the altar as he gets ready to offer the Eucharistic prayer, that you can sense it if you're looking for it, if you put out those the feelers for it, and sometimes I feel it more than see it. And to know that we are part of that communion of saints, and that they do come to join us at each Mass, and only one Mass, right? There's only ever one Mass. It's just a continuation. So how did you all the way from London or Buckinghamshire? How did you find us, Derek? Just curious.
Kathleen, our dear sister, was broadcasting on Facebook, and that's how I got to know about your radio show, and I listen in every time I can. So it's nice to be connected. My wife listens, and I'm encouraging some friends in the UK and Ireland as well to listen in as well. So with God's grace, may you spread far and wide.
And you're helping us do it. We can't thank you enough, Derek. Thanks so much for reaching out, and hope to hear from you again.
Yeah, keep up the good work. God bless you all.
All right. You too. God bless.
Derek, just one more story with Philip Neri. You really touched my heart when you mentioned him. In fact, his name came up today with Pat Kennedy, our technician there behind the glass. We were talking about St. Philip Neri. And years ago, I'm sorry, I got that mixed up with St. John Vianney, but maybe I'm meant to say this anyway. St. John Vianney was blamed for fathering a child. And the villagers came up with the infant and said, "You're a hypocrite, and this is your child. You take care of this child." And St. John Vianney just said two words, "Very well, very well." And he took the child and gave it to a woman to bring the child up. But a year later, they found out that it was the next-door neighbor who was the father of the child. And they came back, you know, sorry, and they asked for the child back. And St. John Vianney took the child and gave the child back and said, "Very well, very well." They're the lives of the saints. It's just like they're just so in the heart of Jesus, in that peace, in that gracefulness of Christ himself, that there's always that peace in our hearts and that joy in our hearts, that transforming love in our hearts. And all the saints,
I recall when Father Benedict Rochelle died, and it was about a week afterwards, I had this beautiful dream, and in my dream he came to me with another priest beside him, and he said, "Hey fellow, hey kid," you know, in his Bronx accent, I'm not very good at an American accent, he goes, "You're doing okay, I'll check in on you from time to time, keep it up," you know, so they come to us in so many ways, and such a great gift, and it's so nice to see our Christian brothers and sisters call them, they don't call it the communion of saints or call it the cloud of witnesses, but they are starting to open up more and more and more to the reality of the communion of saints, and it's so good to see.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you all.
Derek.
Keep up
God
the good
bless
work.
You. Real good.
All right. Take care now. Well, Father, I think that may be a first. Maybe Michael Murphy called in from Ireland, but it may have been our first international call. So, Derek,
how
thanks
about
a lot.
That?
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. So we have.
And, you know, we don't get that much feedback, Ken, but that was a beautiful feedback that people over there in London's listening and that he's spreading the word over there. You know, we don't always get that, but that's really encouraging.
Amen. All right, we've reached the bottom of the hour, and we're going to take a break. I'll give out the phone numbers. If you had an odd or God and you want to share it with us, the numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll-free 888-34-FAITH. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for he wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Again, we're broadcasting over Facebook Live, so if you want to actually see what I look like, you can hop over to In His Sign Catholic Radio on Facebook, and you get a pretty clear signal over there as well, maybe a little clearer than over the air on 800 AM, but however you get us is fine by me. If you haven't visited our website recently, please check out inhissign.com. I try to update recordings of all the shows no later than noon on Thursday. So if you miss a show or want to re-listen to all of a show or parts of a show, you can download them on the InHisSign.com website. Click on Content and then Podcasts, and you'll see them there in order by calendar date. Also want to talk about a little bit about Calyx. The Calyx Society is a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs where our motto is we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I and a whole bunch of others last night, but we get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. It's the old William Shea Funeral Home across the street from the St. Gabriel's Church. We begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we actually go over to the church where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7 p.m., followed by Mass. The third Tuesday this month will be March 19th. All are more than welcome to join us for that. We We pray for those that are in recovery, those that should be in recovery, and all those that that love them. So I don't know anybody these days that doesn't know of an individual or a family that's been affected by addiction. So you're more than welcome to come in and pray with us on those third Tuesdays. Again, that'll be March 19th at St. Gabriel's Church in South Philly. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, March the 7th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 a.m. Mass in the morning and then have our Calyx meeting afterwards. The March meeting will be on Saturday, March the 16th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month for the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet again on Saturday, March the 30th. And our unit at Malvern Retreat House has begun meeting there, and they meet on the third Sunday of the month. There's 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Chapel, followed by refreshments, and then a Calyx meeting. And the third Sunday in March will be Sunday, March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. So all are more than welcome to come out for that. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit at St. Matthew's, where they gather every Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. for Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. Today is the last Wednesday of the month, which means in the 5 o'clock hour, it will be Divine Will Wednesday. A regular guest that joins me each month, Peter DePalma, will be on hand, and he'll be bringing along with him this month Mother Gabriel Marie, the foundress of the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. So you will want to stick around for that. Mother Gabriel recently moved from Italy to Tennessee, and so it'll be our first broadcast with her since she's come back to the States. So we're going to go to the phone lines. And
Ken, before we do that,
yep.
I just want to also announce the first Friday tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, would you announce that?
Yeah, sure. So the first Friday of each month out at Malvern, Father McKay offers Mass in the Family Life Center at 7:30 a.m., at 7:30 in the morning. And then after, there's a breakfast that's provided. They pass a basket for a free will offering. And over breakfast, they have face sharing, talking about all things Catholic. So everybody's more than welcome. Again, that's the first Friday of every month, and that'll be 2 days from today on March the 1st. We're in a leap year, so tomorrow's the 29th. Friday will be March 1st.
Very good.
All right. We're going to go to the phones, and we got Frank on the line. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
All right.
And Father Doug?
Hey, Frank.
I possibly have my first Is This Odd or Is This God moment. You ready?
Ready.
I see possible. Who knows? I might not qualify. Friday night and this Saturday morning, I had a dream of a guy I went to nursing school with. We met the year before, taking the same classes and stuff. I was not thinking about drinking. It was a regular dream, but just drinking was involved. No big deal. Woke up Saturday morning, not worried about it. Saturday, I forget something on the radio or if I had a dream again Saturday night and the Sunday morning about drinking. Not thinking twice about it. Usual two drunk dreams back to back or whatever. Sunday morning I wake up. This is the odd or God part. Usually from 9 to 9:30, some cooking show like Jazzy the Vegetarian and Christine Perillo, they weren't on. I listen to Relevant Radio, 10 o'clock Mass, but that's at 10 o'clock. It's 9 something now. I'm trying to find a station on the radio to pacify my time. I get Bishop Fulton Sheen on Relevant Radio. I don't like Bishop Fulton Sheen. People think he's great and funny. I don't care for him. I kept turning back in. He kept talking about a drunk, an alcoholic. Like, why are they talking about the same guy the whole time? And I kept going back and forth. I don't want to hear about an alcoholic. It's Sunday morning. I want to see my regular shows. And then he mentioned a name, Matt Talbot. That name's familiar. I'm like, the whole show is about Matt Talbot. I'm like, ah. I didn't know where I knew the name from. I knew it sounded familiar. And afterwards, not right away, but later in the afternoon, I called Captain Lou up. I said, I'm thinking as a famous football star or a movie star or something like that. I said, who is Matt Talbot? That's Father Doug's guy. Oh, yeah. Then it came to me. But I wouldn't have turned Bishop Fulton Sheen on at that time if my other shows weren't canceled. And here, I did catch the last 20, 30 minutes about Matt Talbot. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And also today, I had on Drew Mariani on Relevant Radio. I went downstairs at 3:30. That station was on, I think it's 6:40. I'm not sure the numbers. I came upstairs around 4 o'clock, and this station was preset. I didn't change the dial. That was a different station. My guardian angel already tuned you guys in.
there you go.
Anyway, that's it. I knew the name sounded familiar. God wanted me to listen to Bishop Fulton Sheen that day because he was talking about Father Doug's guy, Matt Talbot, who started the Keeler Society, right?
No.
He's a patron.
Yeah, he's a patron.
Okay. I misunderstood. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I just got excited because, that's the guy Father Doug can't talk about every week. And you just mentioned it right now, too, whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, did that qualify an odd or God or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It did?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I heard you guys last week, but I couldn't tune in. My spirit is always with you guys, even if I'm not listening to it, if I forget, which happens a lot, because my brain is still kind of mushy from decades of drinking. I still respect you guys and thank you guys for all the time you helped me when I was trying to, but couldn't get sober. Never. If you're out there, if you're having a hard time getting sober, don't ever give up. It's not easy, but once you get it, it's wonderful. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank. Good to hear you, brother.
Thanks, Frank. God bless you.
All right, let's give out the phone numbers again. We got nobody on the line, so if you call in, you'll get in right away. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Again, if you have a particular saint or saints that you have a devotion to and maybe you've had an experience in your life as a result of that devotion, we would love to hear from you. Give us a shout, 610-527-2906.
I can share my outer God. I shared it last night, but my outer God was last Thursday. I came in and had my meeting with Michael Norton, the president of Malvern Retreat House, and he was talking about the day of prayer that I would have to, they would like me to be there for the day of prayer on Thursday morning, which meant that I would have to give up my Thursday morning mass with the men and women and that breakfast, which I always enjoyed being together, and the angelus that would end the meeting here at our house ministries and then off to Malvern. And I said, okay. And then when I came in Thursday, he said, well, the National Day of Prayer was directed for the policemen and the firefighters because they were in retreat that week. And then he told me that he had it wrong, that the retreat for the firefighters and the police would be the following week. And he said, so we're not going to have the National Day of Prayer. You don't have to be there. But we're hoping that you would be the retreat director for the police and the firefighters. And I kind of reacted somewhat because it would be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I said, Michael, I'm already pulled out so many times from Grace Ferry, and I want to stay there with the sheep. I'm their shepherd. And he said, well, kind of reacted, and I kind of saw in his face that, we'll find somebody else. He said, I just wanted to ask you because I knew of your affinity to the police and the firefighters. And I thought there for a minute. I said, that's so true. I do have an affinity. You know, even with Captain Lou, Captain Lou had me nominated for the Crime Commission Award. He had me to speak at the police on a workshop on addiction. I was in the station at the first station down there, 24th and Wolf, to talk to the police and bless the police. And the firefighters, I live right across the street from the 47, and I remember as kids, we always went in there for water, and then one time they were out, and they had a rush out, and they left their cheesesteaks and french fries on the table, ice cream in the freezer. We went there, and we ate their cheesesteaks, and their french fries, their ice cream, up and down the fire pole. And I thought, I really got to make amends to the police and also to the firefighters. And Michael, I said, let me pray over this. And I'm walking down the stairs, and the West Catholic High School kids are just leaving Malvern. They were there for the week. Kairos. And as I'm leaving, all their bags are packed up, and on top of one bag, it's a huge bag, suitcase, and it has this on it: police, fire, and Federal Credit Union. And right away, it said, the Lord was saying, I want you to be the retreat director for the police and the fire and the fire fighters. And also, I hope FBI would come too, federal, you know, to that retreat. Because I was even asked Ken to be the chaplain to the FBI. I always said the FBI wanted me. And I took the police test, you know, years ago before I did high school all over again, and I flunked it. And I always had the greatest admiration for police and firefighters and FBI. And here the Lord is pulling me right back into this retreat for them. So I had to just say, yes, I'll do the retreat. And Michael Norton said, the Lord told me you were going to do it anyway. So he had an idler God, and I had the idler God. But that's my idler God. I'm going to be the retreat director there in May for the police and the firefighters, and hopefully also FBI as well.
Amen. All right, I'm not going to say, we do have a caller on the line, Father, and I'm not going to say his name. We'll see if you recognize the voice. Hello, caller.
Yes, hi, guys. It's Tom Ferguson.
Yeah. Hey. How are you, brother?
Father Doug.
Hey, Fergie.
And Patrick. Thank you guys for always reaching out in your prayers and thoughts. And today I got a message that really touched my heart from you guys. And well, anyway, I just want to let you know I'm sober. And just been in a crazy place in my head, that's all. And I get these moments at times in my life where I just kind of withdraw from society, basically. And, you know, just, I don't know, thank God baseball's back on, that's all I can say. But, you know, I mean, I'm just existing, basically. You know what I mean? I'm not living. And, but I don't know what to say other than the fact that, you know what I mean? I just, it meant so much to me to hear that message today. It really touched my heart. And I believe it was Father Doug that sent it. And no, that's not an odd or God. That's definitely God.
Yeah, was that the voice message or the text message?
It keeps me going to read the messages. And even though I may not respond, it just, you know, it just keeps me going. You know what I mean? It just keeps my battery charged. And I want to thank you both. Yeah. I want to thank all three of you guys.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, are you talking about the voice message that Father left?
I'm talking about that, and I'm talking about he got a text message today.
Yeah. Now, the voice message, we were coming back to the ministry after breakfast last week.
And, right, I got that.
Yeah, and Father was like, have you heard from Tom? I was like, nah. And he's like, I want to call him. I said, let's call him now.
I know.
Yeah. And why delay? But
today I received a text message.
Yeah.
And it just really touched my heart. That's all.
It
made me to make sure that I set the watch to time, that, you know, tune into the radio show.
Yeah.
Listen. And, you know, I'm just really glad I did today.
Nah, brother, it's great it's great to hear your voice. You know, we were worried about you. So,
No, don't worry. I mean, I'm okay. Physically. Just in my head, I'm not okay.
Well.
But that's it.
Yeah, you're up there in enemy territory.
Definitely not drinking and drugging, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I go three cycles. I've been doing this most of my life, actually. So it's not something new for me. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it's the messages from you guys that, you know, I know it'll bring me right back, you know? And I miss Kalis especially.
Yeah, well.
You know, so that's why I was forced to listen to this station today.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, I had to. So, that's God.
Amen. It's great to hear your voice, brother. I hope to see you real soon.
You guys. You know, it's how he works in my life through other people. And I miss you guys. I do. I miss you dearly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to really try to make Kalis next Tuesday.
All right. Hold on for a second, Tom. Father wants to jump in here.
Yeah. I just want you to know you are so missed at Kalix, you know. When you left us, you were on fire. And I'm telling you what happened, and this is what always happens to you. The Lord takes you to a high, and you're there. And it's the whole journey of the mystics, of the saints. And you keep hitting the wall, and you go back. And I think you're going to break through the wall this time. And what happens is that you hit these fourth mentions, and it's just an ecstasy and a spirit, you know, spirits delights within our heart. But then the Lord leads us into the desert because he wants to purify us even more deeply to raise us up even higher. So he was bringing you into the desert. It feels like depression, abandonment, that God has left me, I'm alone. And the Lord is just wringing the world out of us. And if we just persevere and continue that journey in the desert, he's going to lift us up from a dark night of senses into an illumination, even a closer intimacy with him. And then when we get that high, there's going to be another dip into a dark night of the spirit where he's going to uproot all worldliness from us. And then we really go on fire, and it's the transforming union, and the mystics and the saints speak about it. And, you know, when you want AWOL from us, I'm saying, I wonder if something like that has happened to Thomas, that the Lord is bringing him into the desert, but he doesn't know what's going on. And that's the problem with so many of us, that we go back to the flesh pots, we go back to the worldliness, instead of letting the Lord take us by the hand and take us through the desert into a higher experience with him. So come back to us, Tom. We need you. We need one another. And you're going to really grow even more intimately than you've ever been before. So don't despair and don't get discouraged. Get back to us, and we need you and we need one another. But you're really missed, and you touch so many hearts with your faith. So keep sharing it, Tom, and come back to us.
Thank you,
we need you.
Yeah, I really just, Paul, listening to what you just said, it's more like, you know what, God doesn't lead me. It's like God doesn't, I don't know if he leads me to the desert, but I know I lead myself to the desert. And when I'm there, I really don't spend much time with God. I really don't. And that's part of the problem I have. You know, it's like I feel like I leave God. God doesn't leave me, and I know that. That's the part. I know God doesn't leave me, but I feel I go through these times where I leave him.
Yeah, well, hey, you're not alone. The saints talk all about what you're going through. They say the same things you're saying.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't leave us.
I never feel that he has left us.
That we feel abandonment sometimes. I'm alone. I'm in that desert, you know. But it's a good place to be. You know, he's just purifying us and transforming us. And we just need to sit and be still and let God do his work. It's like being in the washer, to let the cycle end. Mm-hmm. And let the Lord take us to a higher level. But what's happening, you're not alone. You know, if you read the lives of the saints and the mystics, they speak all about this, what you're going through now, Tom. So
I hear you, Bob.
Just keep trusting God. He got you by the heart. He got your hand. He's leading you even more intimately, closer to him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Tom. Good to hear you, brother.
You too, Ken. I love you, brothers.
You too. We'll
I
see
love you guys.
Love you, Thomas. Yeah. Okay, Fergie.
All right. Be good, brother.
Right,
hope to see you soon. Bye bye now.
God bless them.
Yeah.
I think it is a dark night of the soul.
Yeah. I have to apologize to those that the few that may be watching on Facebook when Patrick put the whiteboard up with Fergie's name on it. Got a little excited. You know, it was last Thursday when we reached out via voicemail, and the text message I guess you sent him today, Father. That just good to hear from him. And it happens so often, I think, especially with folks in recovery, where they kind of fall off the face of the earth for a while, and sometimes we see them again, and sometimes we don't. And so, like we say, as long as there's a breath, there's a chance. And I'm sure we'll see Fergie back at Calix and around the area in the very near
Ken,
future.
You know, I hope he's still listening, but it was an honor God. You know, with my flip phone, that I lost my contacts, and they're in my old flip phone, and I got to do one by one. And so far, I probably have about 70 back in there, and I probably erased about 100 of them. But anyway, my phone went on, and all of a sudden, you know, I had Fergie in there already, and his name comes up. His name comes up. I said, you know what? I'm going to give him a call. And I didn't give him a call, but I text him right there. The name went up. I hit the speaker, and I start, you know, just out of my heart, gave him the words, probably about five or six sentences. But you know, it all came from the Holy Spirit, and it was that honor of God that his name would pop up like that. and that somehow God touched him and he needed to hear those words, and he did.
Yeah.
And there he picked up the phone and called.
Yeah,
and that's an honor God.
Yeah, and it's also, if I'm not mistaken, that's a perfect example of a signal grace where something, you know, we call it odd or God, but something happens, you know, the name pops up on your phone magically, or we have a thought, or, you know, something shows up in front of us, and, you know, we can either choose to act on it or not act on it. And, you know, it seems most of the time now, even though there's still sins of commission, but a lot of them are sins of omission, where those signal graces come. And, you know, God, Jesus, the Spirit, the Blessed Mother, somebody, my guardian angel is prompting me to do something, and I either don't pick up on it or, say not now or later, and then never get around to it. So the fact that you operated right away on that signal grace, is a gift, and it turns out not only was it a gift for you, it turned into a gift for me. Pat smiling on the other side of the glass. I'm sure Fergie was maybe smiled for the first time in a while, and all because you acted on that odd or God or that signal grace that came your way.
Yeah, it's just like the Lord saying, it's enough, Fergie. You know, I'm going to restore you now and lift you up out of that low point, that desert point, and bring you back again. But, it was powerful, Ken. Yeah. I don't realize that until I put it all together just now.
Awesome.
His hand's in it all. His healing hand, his mercy is in it all.
Very good. Well, we don't have any other callers on the line. We got about 2 minutes left. Got anything else?
Just get back to the concept of mercy when you were talking about, like, confession, Ken. I was thinking that what Tom Dillon said today was like the little boy with the priest. Why do we have to go to confession? Jesus already said your sins are forgiven. And that whole thing, the little boy didn't understand about in persona Christi. It's Jesus saying in the priest, your sins are forgiven. As you mentioned, the confession, it is Jesus. The priest is a screen. Our hands are anointed. They're not our hands. And when the priest gives that sign of the cross and absolution, the hand of Jesus comes off the cross, takes our hearts, that sinful heart, that repentant heart, through Mary's and Joseph, the mystical body, right into his own sacred heart. But that's mercy, you know. And the devil, he brings it up again and again, our guilt and shame and all. And I was saying today at our meeting where, you know, when all that stuff comes up, it reminds me again of his mercy. And I thank God for the mercy. And I don't linger in shame and guilt, but it makes me focus on his mercy, Ken. The mercy, it's so beautiful. All the sins of the world, a drop in the ocean of his mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to show us your heart of mercy, your love for us, your transforming joy and peace. Lord, continue to bless us with that mercy of the heart of your Son through the Immaculata and St. Joseph and all the angels and saints and all those who are listening, who may be suffering with addiction, depression, or anything else, Lord. Just that ray of light, that ray of your mercy. Touch the hearts, restore them, bring them back to you, and bless us all. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone, Ken.
All right, Father, thanks very much, pal. See you for Mass tomorrow morning.
Looking forward to it.
All right, pal. For those that are still with us, we're going to take a short break, and in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Peter DePalma and Mother Gabriel Marie, foundress of the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. You're not going to want to miss it, so don't go away.